We're up to the first set of two dots, about 15 lines down or so. So the Mishnah said, "Va'afu bitel es ha'me'orim, mai me'orim." The Mishnah yesterday discussed various things that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai did away with. So one of those things are the me'orim, literally the awakeners or the arisers. So what does that mean? Amar Rechava, b'chol yom v'yom shehayu omdim levim al duchen, v'omrim ura lamasishan Hashem. Amar lahen v'chi yeshenu lefnei ha'makom, v'alu kvar ne'emar, hinei lo yonom v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Ela bizman che Yisrael shiruyim mitzar, v'ovdei kochavim benachas v'shalva. When the Levim would get up to sing Shira in the Beis HaMikdash, they would cite a pasuk from Tehillim that says, "Ura lama sishan Hashem." In other words, wake up, why are you sleeping, God? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took issue with that, because we know there's a very famous pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Hinei lo yonom velo yishan shomer Yisrael," that God does not sleep. So he was uncomfortable with the fact that this pasuk was being recited as a preface to the Shira of the Levim. So how then did he explain the pasuk? He says the pasuk means that when the Jewish people are in a state of distress and the non-Jewish people are in a state of tranquility, that's what the pasuk means. The pasuk is almost a cry to God to say, why can't we be like that also? Why can't we be in a state of tranquility as well? The es hanokfim, my nokfim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shahayu Misartin La Ego Bein Kain of Kedei Sheipol Dam Beinav. Then the Mishnah noted that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai also did away with the nokfim, literally the strikers. The Gemara explains that these people used to make a scratch mark in the middle of the horns of a cow, before they would offer it as a karba, because they wanted the blood to drip down and cover the animal's eyes, so it wouldn't notice, it wouldn't realize that it was about to be slaughtered, and it wouldn't fight back. But Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't like that, because it looked like you were making a mum on the animal, so again, he did away with that as well. Then the Braisa quotes a slightly different version of what was happening here, which is that the people used to beat the animals with sticks, almost to stun the animal, the way that idolaters used to do as well. So the Gemara comments that by doing so, it's there's a concern that you might make the animal into a trefa by banging, by hitting, by striking the animal with the stick. You might theoretically puncture the membrane of the animal's brain, so that could theoretically make the animal into a trefa. So in order to circumvent this problem, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that in order to keep the animal in place and prevent the animal from writhing around before you shecht it, he put these rings on the ground next to the mizbeach to keep the animal still. Okay, then we said, Ad yom v'yapatish makeh b'Yerushalayim b'chulo shel moed. So again, we briefly mentioned this point yesterday as well, which is that in the days of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, they used to basically use these hammers to do construction in the Beis HaMikdash on Chol HaMoed, and he did away with that. Kol yomav lohaya adam sarach lishal adamai kida amran. And the fact that people did not need to inquire regarding the status of produce, which was demai, which was a suffix, whether the Ame Haaretz separated meiser from it. Again, we already explained that yesterday, that during his time, people were very makbit to separate meiser from their produce. Okay, says the Mishnah. Mishabat la Sanhedrin batel hashir mi beis hamishdos. Shene emar bashir lo yishtu yayin. Once the Sanhedrin was nullified, and again, the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah discusses what exactly at what point in history that happened, 40 years prior to the Churban. Once the Sanhedrin was done away with, so now there was a prohibition against singing in a Beis HaMishta, in a house where there was wine, in a party area. That was prohibited, because the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Bashir lo yishtu yayin, that you're not allowed to sing with wine. Again, the Gemara is going to explain how this has anything to do with the Sanhedrin. Mishamesu Nevi'im Arishonim Batlu Urim V'sumim. When the early Nevi'im, again, the Gemara is going to explain who exactly these are referring to, when they died, so the Urim the Tumim became null and void. In other words, it wasn't effective anymore. You couldn't ask questions of the Urim the Tumim and it wouldn't respond. Mishachara Beis HaMikdash Batel HaShamir V'Nofes Tzufim Ufasku Anshe Amanam Yisrael Shene Emar Hoshia Hashem Ki Gamar Chasid. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the famous Shamir worm, which again we'll talk about in the Gemara, was the worm that was used to carve out the stones for the Beis HaMikdash. That worm was nullified. It was done away with. The Nofes Tzufim, literally the honeycombs, the sweet taste of fruit, that was also done away with. And also the trustworthy people of Klal Yisrael also dissipated, because the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Hoshia Hashem ki gamar chasid ki fasu emunim mi bnei adam." That we ask God for salvation, because in the pasuk ends off, "Ki fasu emunim mi bnei adam," which means that the trustworthy people have dissipated; they're no longer around. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Hayid Reb Yehoshua. Miyom shecharav beis hamikdash ein yom she'ein bo klala v'lo yarad hatal livracha v'nitel tam haperos. From the day the beis hamikdash was destroyed, there was no day where there was no curse. Also, the dew did not fall libracha. Usually, dew is a sign of bracha, so the dew did not fall, and also the good taste of fruit was taken away. Reb Yosi Omer afnitel shuman haperos. The fat of the fruit had also been removed. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer hatahara notla es hareach. So the lack of purity after the churban also remove the aroma that was associated with food. Hamaisros nutlu es shuman hadagat, and the failure to separate maiser also remove the fat of the grain. V'chachamim omrim haznus v'hakshafim kilu es hakol. Promiscuity and sorcery, witchcraft, that basically destroyed everything as the world functioned. Okay, so asks the Gemara. The Mishnah seems to, again, the Gemara is going to explain what all of these lines mean, so we'll get a little bit of clarity on that in a second. Okay, so asks the Gemara, how do we know that when the opening line in the Mishnah said that once the Sanhedrin was nullified, so it was prohibited to sing in a Beis HaMishnah, how do we know that Pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, Bashir lo yishtu yayin, that which just means don't sing while you're drinking, in other words, how do we know that has anything to do with the Sanhedrin? So Amar Rav Huna Barei de Rav Yehoshua, de Amar Kra, Zekenim Mishar Shavasu Bachurim Minagino Asam. It's a Pasuk from Megillas Eicha. Pasuk in Eicha says that the elders have ceased from the gate, and the gate is an allusion to the Sanhedrin. Bachurim Minagino Asam, the young men from their song. So you see that there's a connection between the Sanhedrin and singing. Amar Rav, Udna Deshama Zimra Teyaker. The ear that hears song should be uprooted. In other words, it's a bad thing to hear music. Amar Rava, Zimra Bevesa Churva Besifa. Shana Amar, Kol Yeshorer Bachalon, Chorev Basav Ki Arza Eira. That if there's music, if there's song in the house, then the house is going to be destroyed. The threshold is going to be destroyed. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Tzafania to that effect. That says that when there's music heard through the windows, there's going to be destruction and desolation by the threshold. Then the pasuk ends off and says ki arza eira, that the cedar wood has been destroyed. So what does that mean? Ma'ki arza eira. Amar Rav Yitzchak bayis hamesubach ba'arazim irhu, is a house that's interlaced or that's interwoven with cedar. Is that any worse or any less powerful than a city? Ela afilu bayis hamesubach ba'arazim misro'eya. It means that even a house that's built powerfully, it's built with cedar wood, it's not supposed to be destroyed by any natural means, but if there's song, if there's music in the house, that is going to destroy and weaken even a house that's built well. Amar Rav Ashi, shma mina ki maschil churva besifa maschil, shene emar chorev basaf, v'iba yisema mehacha u'she'ia yukas shar. Then the Gemara says, you see from here, that when destruction begins, it starts from the threshold. So first the Gemara quotes the pasuk we referenced a second ago from Tzafania that says chorev basaf, that desolation begins at the threshold, and then it quotes another pasuk from Yeshayahu that says u'she'ia yukas shar, which literally means that the gate is laid in ruin, that the gate has been destroyed. Amar mar bar Rav Ashi lidi chazilei u'menageach kisora. So she'ia is also the name of a demon that wreaks havoc and destroys things and gores like an ox. So the Gemara quotes these two psukim, one from Tzafani and one from Yeshayahu, that highlight this idea that destruction begins from the gate or from the threshold. Amar Rav Huna, zimra denagde u'devakre sharei degardai asir. So comes Rav Huna and says that song that's sung by the weavers by the people who pull the cattle or people who pull the boats, that's permissible because that allows them to work with a certain rhythm. However, the song that's sung by the weavers is forbidden because they don't need music to get them into a rhythm. Rav Huna batel zimra kan mea avaze bezuza umea saachite bezuza velo ibay asa Rav Chista zalzel bay ibay avaze bezuza velo mishtakeach. So Rav Huna did away with music. In other words, he said that it was prohibited to sing, and as a result, there was a tremendous increase in terms of the availability of food and in terms of its price, there was a decrease. In other words, the price of geese, of duck, went down to a zuz, and the price of a wheat went down to a zuz, and yet no one wanted it because it was so plentiful, it was so available, that people were not even willing to pay this very low price for something for these delicacies. And yet Rav Chista came and he degraded this takana of Rav Huna, and he said, no, there's no reason to make such a takana against music. And then as a result, the prices went up, and then it cost, instead of 100, geese being a zuz, it was one goose or one duck for a zuz, and still it was unavailable, and still no one was willing to, in other words, people were willing to pay for it, but it still wasn't available. Amar Rav Yosef, Zimri gavrei va'anei nashi pritusa. Zimri nashi va'anei gavrei ke'ish bin ores. L'may nafkamina levatulei ha'mikameha. So if men are singing and the women are answering, that's just regular pritus. That's just considered to be regular licentiousness. However, if it's the reverse, if it's the women singing and the men responding, that's much worse. That's what the Gemara calls ke'ish bin ores. It's like a fire that's igniting on hay. It's gonna ruin everything. So the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina between whether it's just regular pritus or it's ke'ish bin ores? So the Gemara says, if you have the option, in other words, if let's say you can't totally do away with these activities, so it's better to do away with the women singing and the men responding as opposed to the first one, because the second one is much more serious. Amar Rabbi Yochanan kol hashose ba'arba mine zemer mevi chamesh poranios la'olam shene emar hay mashkimei vaboker sheichar yerdofu ma'acharei vaneshev yayin yadli keim v'hayachinor v'nevel tofe chalil v'yein mishtayem v'yes po'al Hashem lo yabitu. So the Gemara says that if a person drinks wine while they play four types of instruments that are listed in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, it's going to bring five types of destruction to the world. The pasuk says the people who get up early in the morning to pursue, you know, beer or strong drink, they're going to run after wine and they're going to play the harp and the cymbals and the flute and all these things. And as a result, they're going to run after wine and they're not going to do what God wants them to do. So the people are going to be exiled. They're going to bring famine to the world. That the people are going to be parched, they're going to be thirsty, meaning to say that they're going to forget their Torah learning. The people are going to be bent over, they're going to be made humble as a result. And again, it's a metaphor really to God, that God is going to be humbled. It's also going to cause the Jewish people to be lowered and to be humbled. And basically, the punishment is going to be that Gehenna is going to open up its mouth and it's going to swallow all of these people. And basically, the Gemara's point is that if you're not, in other words, if you're playing music in the context of drinking, all of these terrible things are going to happen. Okay, then the Mishnah said, "Mishemesu neviim harishonim, man neviim harishonim." Amar Ravuna said, "David uShmuel uShlomo." This is a reference to David, Shmuel, and Shlomo HaMelech. In those days, once those Nevi'im Harishonim died, so the Mishnah said that once they die, so certain you know taste of the fruit and fat of the grape and things like that had been taken away. Rav Nachman Amar Bimei David Zimnin Salik VeZimnin Lo Salik Shaharei Shal Tzadok VeOsalo Shal Ev Yasser VeLo Osalo Shene Emar VaYal Ev Yasser. In the days of David HaMelech, so sometimes the Urim VeTumim worked, sometimes it offered a response, and other times it didn't. In other words, by Tzadok HaKohen it offered a response, but by Ev Yasser HaKohen it did not. So it asks the Gemara, Masiv Rabba Bar Shmuel by Hilud Rosh Elokim, Kol Yimei Zechariah Mevin Bir Os Elokim, Mai Lav Urim Vesumim, Lo Benevim. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim that seems to indicate that Uziyahu HaMelech used the Urim Vetumim. It says that he inquired of God. Uziyahu HaMelech lived well after the Churban, and yet it sounds like he was still using the Urim Vetumim. So the Gemara says, no, he was really just using the Nevim. He wasn't using the Urim Vetumim to inquire of God. Tashma, Mishachara Beis HaMikdash Rishon, Batlu Are Migrash, Ufasku Urim Vetumim, Ufasku Urim Vetumim, Ufasak Melech Mi Beis David. So the Gemara says, once Bayis Rishon was destroyed, the Arei Migrash, which were the various cities of the Levium, were done away with, the Urim Vetumim was nullified, and there was no longer a monarchy of David HaMelech. V'imlach shecha adam lomar vayomer hatir shasa lohem asher lo yochelu mikodesh hakadashim ad amor kohen le'urim v'sumim. A person might whisper to you and say, well, isn't there a pasuk in Sefer Ezra that seems to indicate that they were actually eating, they were eating kachim, and in fact they were inquiring of the Urim Vetumim long after the Churban. So the Gemara says, no. And more lo ka'adam sha'omer lachaveiro ad she'yichyu meisim v'yavo Mashiach ben David. It's as if a person says, you know, when the dead come back to life and Mashiach comes, it's almost like an expression. In other words, hopefully this will happen at some point, but it's not to say that historically they were actually using the Urim Vetumim. So says the Gemara, Elo Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, ma nevi'im harishonim liafuke mechagai zechariah malachi dachronim ninu. It's to exclude Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, for they were considered to be the later Nevi'im. The son of Rabbanan, Mishamesu Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh Miyisrael, V'afal Pichin Hayu Mishtamshin Bevaskol. That, in other words, once Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi died, there was no longer Ruach HaKodesh, but the Jewish people still made use of the Baskol, the heavenly voice. Shapamach HaSayim Mesubin Ba'aliyas Beis Guria B'Yericho Nasna Le'an Baskol Men HaShamayim V'amra Yesh Bochem Adam Echad Sheroi Shetishre Shechina Alav Ela She'in Dor Roi Lechach Nasnu Einayim Behilal Hazakein Uch Shemis Hispidu Hei Chassid Hei Anav Talmido Shel Ezra. There was one time where all these rabbis were sitting together. together in an attic in the house of Guria in Yericho. And there was a bas kol that came out from the heavens and said, there's one person who's sitting here who really deserves to have the Shechina resting on him as if he was, in other words, as if he was the leader of the generation. The problem is that the generation doesn't deserve it. They don't deserve to have the Shechina rest on this individual, and they all turn their eyes to Hillel HaZaken. And in fact, when Hillel HaZaken died, they eulogized him by saying he was pious, he was humble, and he was a student of Ezra. V'shuv pam acheres hayim mesubin ba'aliyah b'yavne, nosna lehen bas kol min ha'shamayim v'amr lehen yesh bochem adam echad sheroi shetish resh Very similar incident. They were sitting together in Yavne, and a baskel again came out and said that there's one person here who deserves to have the Shechina on them, but the generation doesn't deserve it. And that was an allusion to Shmuel HaKatan. And again, when he died, they praised him by saying he was humble, he was pious, and he was a student of Hillel. The Afu Amar Bishas. Yeah. Question? Okay, so the Gemara said. Yeah. Yeah, correct. So the simple answer is that they just lived during that time period. They weren't literally Nevi'im. They might have had prophecy once in a while, but they weren't, typically we don't refer to them as Nevi'im. Yeah. Okay, then the Gemara says, Va'afu Amar Bishas Misaso, Shimon V'Yishma L'Charva, V'Chavroi L'Ktala, U'Sha'ar Amma L'Viza, V'Akan Sagia Nasidin L'Meisei Al Amma. So this is a reference to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yishma ben Elisha Kohen Gadol. They were two of the Asara Harugei Malchus, so they were killed by the sword. Their colleagues were just killed regularly. The rest of the people were plundered, and then there were great sorrows that befell the Jewish people as a result. V'Afu Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Bikshu Lomar, Hei Chasid Hei Anav, Elisha Nitrif Ashash, She'in Maspidin Al Harugei Malchus. They wanted to similarly eulogize Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, but he was also one of the Asara Harugei Malchus, and the halacha is that you're not allowed to give a regular hesped for the Asara Harugei Malchus, for a regular Harugei Malchus, for a person who is executed by the government, because the times are distressing. It could be that the government is going to come after you if they think that you're praising someone who they killed, so that's why they couldn't give him a proper eulogy. Fine. Then he said, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Batel HaShamir, Tana Rabbanan, Shamir Shabo Bana Shlomo Es Beis HaMikdash, Shene Emar, V'Habayis Behi Bano So Evan Shilema Masanivna Hadvarim Kichsavan Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sefer Melachim that describes the shamir that basically it would cut the stones for the Beis Hamikdash. So Rabbi Yehuda takes that pasuk literally. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemya v'chiyav sher lo markein v'halo kvar ne'amar kol eila avanim yukaros migoros ba'migare. So the problem is that we have another pasuk in Malachim that seems to indicate that they were using a saw or they were using some kind of a metal implement to carve out the stones, not the shamir worm. So asks the Gemara im kein matamud lomar lo nishma ba'bayis b'hibano. So what does the pasuk in Malachim mean when it says that there was no noise heard when they were building because again presumably they were using the shamir? If you take this other pasuk, it sounds like they were using regular implements. So the Gemara says shahay. In other words, what it means is that they would basically rectify or make the stones outside the mikdash using regular metal utensils, and then they would bring them in when they were fully formed into the mikdash. Amar Rebbe, Nirin Divrei Rebbe Yehuda ba'avne mikdash v'divrei Rebbe Nechemya ba'avne beiso. The Gemara explains that we concede to the words of Rebbe Yehuda when it comes to the stones of the mikdash, namely that they were literally carved with the shamir, whereas when it comes to the stones that were used to build Shlomo's palace, so that was done with the regular metal utensils. The Rebbe Nechemya Shamir Lamayasa. So according to Rebbe Nechemya, if they're carving the stones with metal utensils outside the Mikdash and then bringing them in, so what's the point of the Shamir worm? What's the Shamir doing exactly? So the Gemara says, Miboyle Lechidasanya, Avanim Halalu in Kosvenosan Bidio, Mishum Shana Amar Pituchechosam, the Ain Misartan Aleam Bismal, Mishum Shana Amar Bimiluosam, Ella Kosev Aleam Bidio, Umara Lahen Shamir Mibachutz, the Ain Nifkaus Me Elehen, Kisaina Zoshin of Kaspi, Mosachama, the Ain Hasera. So the Gemara explains based on Psukim in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh that there were certain limitations on how you could carve the stones of the Beis Hamikdash, or the stones of the Ephod rather. The Gemara says that basically you were not allowed to use regular ink to write on those stones because the Pasuk says Pituchechosam, it had to be from a certain, in other words, it had to be a certain writing, and you could also not use like a scalpel or some kind of utensil like that to carve out the stones because it says Bimiluosam, they have to be in their whole state. So what would they do? They would use regular ink, they would write on the stones, and then they would place the shamir on the stones, and then they were And then the stone would basically open up on its own, and it would form a, in other words, it would look like a regular stone of the ephod. And the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Shamir Zeb Briyaso Kisora, Umisheshes Yimei Bereshes Nivra, the Inkol Davar Kasha Yachola Amod Mipanav, I'm sorry, Yachola Amod Bifanav, Bamemishamar, Noso Korchen Oso, Bisifogen Shal Tzemer, Umanichen Oso, Beitni Shal Avar, Malaya Sube Saorin. So the Gemara says that this Shamir worm was the size of a barley corn. It was created during the 6 days of creation, and basically nothing could stand in its way. It was able to carve out anything, no matter how hard it was. So the only way to protect the Shamir worm, to prevent it from, you know, destroying everything, they had to put it inside of this like a lead container with tufts of wool and bran, coarse bran or whatever it was. So that's the way that they prevented the Shamir from destroying everything. Amar Rabbi Ami, Mishacharav Mikdash Rishon, Bat Lashira Paranda Uzachuches Levana, Tani Nami Hachim, Mishacharav Mikdash Rishon, Bat Lashira Paranda Uzachuches Levana, Verechet Barzel, Vyeshomer Mafyayin Karash Abami Senir Hadome Ki Igule Devela. Once Bayis Rishon was destroyed, so fine silk and white glass and iron chariots and congealed wine that came from the Hermon that looked like cakes of pressed figs, all of those things had been nullified. Venofes Tzufim, my nofes Tzufim, Amarav, Soles Shetzafa Al Gabe Nafa, Vidome Leisa Shenilosha Vidivash Vishemen. So according to Rav, it refers to flour that rises to the top of a sieve or a sifter, and it looks like dough that was kneaded with honey or with oil. The Levi Amar Shteki Karos and Nidbakos Pisanur, Visovchos Uvahus Achemagios Zolizo. It refers to two loaves of bread that were put into an oven, and they start to rise and they start to touch one another. The Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Amar Zed Devash Habam and Atsifya. It refers to honey that comes from this region of Eretz Israel called Sifya. So my mashma kidem esargim Rav Sheshes kama denatzan debriyasa v'shaitan berume alma umasyon duvsha me isve tura. So Rav Sheshes is quoting the Targum on a pasuk in Parshas Devarim that says ka'asher ta'asena hadivorim, the way that the bees act. So the Gemara says that that's what bees do, that they fly around and they pollinate and they bring their honey from this region called Sifya. And the Gemara says tinan hasam kol hanitzok tahar chutzmi devash zifim v'hatzapichim. This is a Mishnah Meseches Machshirin that talks about the following. The Mishnah Machshirin says that, let's say I'm pouring liquid from a tahar kli into a tameh kli. So the din is that the stream does not constitute a connection. In other words, the liquid that's in the tahar kli remains tahar. The only exception to that rule is if I'm pouring what's called honey from zifim or tzapichim, which is some kind of a wafer batter, because they're so thick, they're so viscous, that that's considered to be a connection. So my zifim, Amar Rabbi Yochanan devash shemezayfinbo. Rabbi Yochanan says that zifim honey means honey that you're able to act as a form of forgery, because it's such a rare type of honey that people would often dilute it and you wouldn't even realize that it was diluted. V'reish lakish amar al shemekomo kidichsiv zif vatelem uv alos kayotze bedavarat omer bevo hazifim vayomeru l'shaol halo David my zifim amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Adam hamezayfin divrayem v'Rabbi Elazar omer al shemekomo kidichsiv zif vatelem uv alos. And Reish Lakish says it's just the name of a place, the name of the region. And the Gemara quotes a similar pasuk from Sefer Shmuel that talks about how the zifim came and they told Shaul where David HaMelech was hiding. So again, the Gemara quotes a similar machlokas. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the zifim refer to these people who are acting as foragers. And according to Rabbi Elazar, it's just a reference to the region where they came from. Ufasku anche amana amar Rabbi Yitzchak elu b'nei Adam shehin maminin b'hakadosh baruch hu. Desadya Rabbi Eliezer hagadol omer kol mi sheyesh lo pas besalo va'omer ma'ochel ma'char eno ela miktane amana. V'hainu da amar Rabbi Elazar may dechsev ki mi vaz liyom ktanos migarim letzadikim sheyes vaz beis shulchanan liyasid lavo katnos shehaya b'hen shelo ha'aminu b'hakadosh baruch hu. These refer to people who don't believe in God when they have every reason to believe in Him. A person already has sufficient food; they're not lacking or wanting for food, and they still say, "What are we going to eat tomorrow?" That's considered to be a lack of emuna. Rava Amar Eluk Tane Bnei Rishay Yisrael Shemivaz Vizin Din Aviem LaAsid Lavo Omim Lefanav Ribono Shelo LaMeAcher Sha'ata Asili Paramehan Lama Hikesa Shinehem Bam. So then the Gemara quotes another interpretation that these actually refer to the children of Rishayim, where God takes their lives prematurely, and that the fact that they were taken prematurely act as a kapara for their wicked fathers, because basically the Gemara is saying the Gemara is essentially saying that even though God wants to punish their fathers, the fact that they died prematurely is acting as a form of atonement. They say, why are you punishing them in addition to the punishment that you already issued by taking their lives prematurely?